Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It was a year ago that the Miami Marlins had reliever Brad Ziegler on their roster. It was always a time that Brad Ziegler would probably decide at some point to retire and get into broadcasting. So 1 year ago, I said to Brad, one day you and I will be hosting a live radio show together. And go figure, that day is today. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Would you believe if I told you that the other 8 home runs that Riley has hit have been in the 6th inning or later? Has anybody even paid attention to that? I know that that doesn't factor into fantasy, so to speak, but in reality, think about that. Every time that the game is in doubt, every time that they have needed a big hit, he's hit one. All right, welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish in the house again with you for the next 2 hours, 844-843-6879. As always, Chris Bavona is producing the show. We've got a fun show lined up for you today. We're going to get into a lot of the baseball issues that are happening in both fantasy and reality. But a really a special day, I think, here on Fantasy Sports Today. As I mentioned here at the top of the show, last couple of years, Brad Ziegler pitched for the Miami Marlins and then abruptly just ended his career in the offseason with a retirement, which was very disappointing to me. I thought that he would come back for a 12th season in the big leagues and re-sign with the Marlins, but inevitably he chose to hang up the spikes because he knew one day he'd be able to host a radio show at FNTSY with me, right? Well, that's not exactly how it went, but kind of, sort of. Brad Ziegler with me for the next hour. It is obviously an honor and a pleasure for us to finally hook up live and do a live show together. Good afternoon, good morning to you, Brad. Thank you so much for doing the show with me today.
My pleasure, man. And yeah, I mean, how I have an opportunity to either continue my baseball career or host a show with you, and that's not even a question. Like, retirement, here I go.
Yeah. I knew at the time, you know. I mean, I tried to talk the Diamondbacks out of trading for you and keeping you here in South Florida so you could just do shows with me 24/7. But look, you had to finish out that career. Somehow I had a feeling that getting paid, I think it was $9 million last year, was worth finishing out the season for. But congratulations. Yes. Congratulations to a great career that wrapped up for you. And I know that we talk often, but not really on the air. So for those people who maybe hearing you for the second, third, fourth. You've been on with Greg and Frank quite a bit here on the network, so obviously they've had a chance to hear you. But catch people up with what has been going on with you since you've retired and kind of what your next step in life and family and goals have been.
Yeah, the money last year was tough to turn down. I decided to go ahead and accept the trade to Arizona, even though I really had no say in it. But, I'm enjoying family life right now. That was a big thing. My kids were getting older. My body was starting to break down a little bit. And the combination was, I want to be able to be a good dad, be a good husband, and, be around and be able to be active with my kids. And I felt like if I continued playing baseball, the trend that my body was going, it was going to be really tough to do that, you know, in a few years down the road. And, I had a great run. I really enjoyed my time in the big leagues, and I think I probably lasted a whole lot longer than most people ever thought I would. And, to be able to walk away on my own terms, it was something I was very excited to do. And, I'm really enjoying life right now, though. I'm getting to do a lot of stuff that I didn't get to do while I was playing, and having a blast doing it.
Did you think, and I say that, I know you're not embarrassed about it because you freely talk about it, but making $9 million to play baseball, and no disrespect to you, but understanding that at this stage of anybody's career with the way that the game has changed, I mean, had you come back, you could have played and you could have pitched. You probably would have gotten a few million, I think, to pitch for somebody this year. But the reality, Brad, is that money that you made Like, you received probably one of the last, like, kind of, no offense, like, overpays for relievers and players. I mean, look at what Craig Kimbrell just signed for, and we'll talk about that here on the show. But did you ever think that, like, it was just kind of, like, right place, right time with Miami to kind of cash in at the end of your career? Did you ever consider that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially in Miami's situation. I mean, they had just lost Jose Fernandez at the end of the season the year before, and they didn't feel like there was a lot of starting pitching out there on the market that year, so they decided to attempt to win games by beefing up their bullpen a little bit. And it was obviously that year was disappointing. 2017 was disappointing, and I was fighting a pulled muscle in my back a lot of the season, and it was, you know, I was excited for the contract I got, obviously, when I got it. You know, I know Brian Shaw got a nice big deal with Colorado the next year, and I felt like I, in a sense, kind of helped set that one up. At the same time, I think teams are kind of trending the other way. Like, I've heard you talk about it before. The young guys in baseball are so prepared now that if you have an opportunity to pay them less, a lot of teams are just going to go that route. If they even think guys are remotely comparable, they're not taking the veteran with experience anymore because of the higher price tag that comes with them. And it's a big shift in the game, and it's hard for those veteran guys to get that contract still. And, you know, being a free agent is not what it used to be. I will say that.
Yeah. And it seems like, based on what we saw in the offseason, so many players are taking contracts of less money, which leaves less money for people to buy sports memorabilia. So this worked out really well for you, getting paid at the end of your career, for sure. So what we're going to do here on the show is Brad is going to join me every Thursday in the first hour, and I'm going to pick his brain completely about fantasy baseball and fantasy football. And the one thing that I will tell you as we get closer to the fantasy football season is not just in terms of his acumen for fantasy football being at a high level for a baseball player, but for anybody that I know, like you eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff. So, I mean, I don't know how this happened, that you got this far and this deep into the discussion with fantasy football, but you, like, enjoy it just as much or more than baseball. So, I mean, I don't know how you get there. Like, but when did you have time to even watch college football when you're playing? Like, this is the first year you could sit down and watch, like, every game, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing about college football is being on Saturdays. A lot of times in baseball, you have a Saturday night game. So you get to the locker room at 12, 1 o'clock that day, and it's just on all day. It's on in the locker room. You see guys in the, you know, there are a lot of baseball players that are big time college football fans because they went to these Southern schools that are big time football programs and the SEC schools. And they grew up in that area, or the California, the Pac-12 schools. And it's just a big deal to them. It's been a part of their life since they were little kids. I'm not a college football guy at all. Like, the only thing I would watch at all in college football is the playoffs. And I love that they put the 14 playoff in. I honestly wish it was an 18 playoff just to add a little more excitement to it and get a couple more teams in there. At the same time, like, I don't really start paying close attention to college players until the combine. And that's when I really start to feel like you can get a feel for who's going to be anywhere close to what they produced in college. And, you know, it's a tough transition for those guys because they're going from being an elite top player on their college team to being, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, fighting to make a team in the NFL. And it's tough to project what those guys are going to do because the NFL game is just so much bigger and faster. But fantasy football is such a big deal in big league locker rooms. And that's where it was such a camaraderie thing when you're in the locker rooms. Guys love coming to the draft. Even guys who weren't in the league would show up at the draft, you know, have a drink, grab some food, and trash talk and make fun of guys when they make, you know, picks that they didn't agree with. And it became this huge deal where then when you have that draft sometime in August, the whole rest of the season during batting practice in the locker room, everything, everybody's talking about the fantasy football when the NFL games get going. And I think a lot of the reason is because we can't play fantasy baseball being a baseball player. It's tied to gambling. It's, you know, it essentially just eliminates it from contention. Guys love that competitive drive and that's their avenue of having it away from the field and making the rest of their day competitive with their teammates as well.
Yeah, and really bad news for you is that you got traded from the Marlins. so you didn't get to play in the Marlins League. And then by the time you got to Arizona, they already had their teams picked, so you didn't get to play in either of those leagues. That's a bummer.
Yeah, I at least got to be part of the draft in Arizona, and you know, go and hang out and you know, trash talk and help a couple teams out if they wanted some help. You know, that was kind of fun being the guy that kind of like everybody was coming to me for advice, but also like I didn't have any stake in any of it, so I was just giving them, you know, unsolicited free advice. And you know, at the same time, you know, as soon as one of the guys that I told him to pick, you know, went out and had a bad game in week two, I'm like, you shouldn't have picked him. It doesn't matter that I told you, like, you should have known better.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, too bad you weren't in the Marlins League, because then I would have had some competition, you know, in that league. We ended up taking
Congrats on your win.
The only win ever, probably, for me. But imagine that I get kind of summoned to be a co-owner by the best player on the team, and then we end up winning the championship. That ended up really good. I'm still waiting for a little bit of a trophy shot on that. No residual effect from that. I'm going to have to call JT and see what's going on with that. Okay, so as I mentioned, Brad Ziegler is going to be with us. We won't do introductions like this on every show, but since this is the first one, I figured it'd be a good idea just to kind of reacquaint you guys with who he is. Let's dive in a little bit to what happened in baseball last night, and then we'll do our three up, three down segment coming up in 5 minutes from now. Brad, let's talk about Charlie Morton. Start off with him. 20 game unbeaten streak last night. 7-0. The Rays beat the Tigers. 4-0. Morton right now 7-0 on the season. So, you know, I saw this coming a couple of years ago. But Brad, honestly, with him going to Tampa, I just didn't expect the same results. And it looks like he is really the poster for older players that are pitchers in Major League Baseball carving out a second career for himself. How has he been able to do this?
Yeah, what he did is something that most guys can't do. And I don't want to toot my own horn here, but in a sense, it's like whenever I tried to learn to pitch submarine, I had to completely reinvent how I threw. And it was honestly like starting over again. He did that after multiple seasons in the big leagues. That's way harder to do, because there wasn't that season where after he did this, he got to go back into the minor leagues and kind of settle in and get a feel for it. He just went all out and did it. And I mean, it's incredible. It shows a lot about his work ethic. It shows a lot about his determination to get the most out of what he had. And he took a pitcher that had, you know, Roy Halladay in and tried to mimic himself after him. And you talk about a guy for a decade was the guy, like the most dominant guy, the guy most respected in baseball among starting pitchers. And a lot of that was because of his work ethic. And that's something that is difficult to just pick up if you didn't have that already. For him, the amount of time he had to put in to do that and then come back at the big league level, I can't imagine what it was like. But kudos to him, because he's obviously figured it out and he is really fun to watch.
Yeah. And I think that in most leagues, he's not somebody that you would sell high on, because he continues to pitch at this level. Speaking of buying low, there was a time a couple of weeks ago, Brad, where Chris Sale was probably the ultimate buy low guy, but not everybody felt that way about him. Last night, a 3-hitter, he struck out 12 batters in an 8-0 win against Kansas City. Was there ever any point, Brad, that fantasy owners or even you were worried about Sale at all in the regular season? Or was that just kind of a first month and a half blip?
I honestly feel like it was just the beginning of the season blip. I mean, he was pitching deep into October for the first time in his career. They were using him out of the bullpen at the end of the World Series. You watched what happened with the Giants players, the Giants starters, Bumgarner, Kane, those guys. In 2010, 2012, 2014, they were tremendous. They get deep into the playoffs, and that innings count takes its toll a little bit at the beginning of the next season. And when the season, you know, the odd numbered years, the 11, 13, and 15 seasons came back, they were not the same guys at the beginning of the season, but they eventually kind of settled into who they were before. It just took a little bit to get going. And a lot of that is because I think when you have that high innings count, you pitch deep into October, you get less work in spring training. They take you a little slower. You're not able to kind of prepare like you were, like you have every other year when you weren't a playoff pitcher. And so for Sale, that I felt like the first month of the season kind of was his spring training. And I said that when we did the FNTSY broadcast in New York for the NTSB, I think is that the right league?
NFBC,
I'm not sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. NFBC. Yeah. So, yeah. When they, when I told them I had Sale as my number one pitcher. I had him over Scherzer because I truly believed in the supporting cast around him. But I said at that time, don't be surprised if he gets off to a slow start because it's not the same workload in spring. And he's been phenomenal after he kind of got settled in.
Yeah, he's been great. A couple of minutes here before we take care of three up, three down. Your former team, Brad, the Marlins, 16 runs and then eight last night. Brian Anderson hit a grand slam. How all of a sudden are the Marlins scoring all of these runs?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it, you have to look to the hitting coach change and kind of getting settled in with a new coach. You look at their K rate is down over the last 18 games from the first 41. It was 25%. Now it's down to 19. They've hit 23 homers in the last 18 games and hit only 24 in the 41 games before that. Their batting average has gone from 218 in those first 41 to 280. That's a huge, huge jump. And I think you have to give a lot of credit to that coaching staff and working with those players and believing in them. And now they're on a roll. And then you look at the pitching. I mean, they're cutting down. They're a walk less per game during this stretch. A third of a home run less per game in this stretch, and their ERA is down over a point. It's all just kind of coming together, and you got to wonder, you know, yes, it's a small sample size, but is this not potentially the beginning of this run that a lot of people in the Marlins front office felt like was coming at some point? Maybe they just didn't think it was coming this fast.
I want no analysis. I just want the answer here. 30 seconds before we go to the break. The best pitcher on the Miami Marlins is fill in the blank. One name, no analysis. Who?
Caleb Smith.
Okay, there you go. That's Brad Ziegler, former big league pitcher, 11 years, big fantasy player. He's going to help you every single week here on my show. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Craig Mish, and along with Zig, we'll come back and do three up, three down here on FNTSY. Don't go away.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour champion, 2017 world number one. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sportsbook. Go to FanDuel.com/grid where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Open your new account and claim your free wager of up to $500 today.
Are you, or someone you love, one of the nearly 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's disease? There is no known cure, but you have the power to help change that by participating in a clinical trial. The Michael J. Fox Foundation will help get you started. Visit michaeljfox.org/participant pack to download the new Parkinson's Trial Participant Pack. It's free and available right now. That's michaeljfox.org/participant pack. Visit today.
You know, as an allergy sufferer, you're wired differently.
I sure feel that way.
That's why there's Nasacort. It's different, too. You see, unlike antihistamines, Nasacort targets and inhibits more of the allergic inflammation that causes ear congestion and other nasal allergy symptoms.
My antihistamine doesn't do that?
None of them do.
Oh, that is different.
And it's why Nasacort's more effective at giving you 24-hour relief.
So even if I'm wired differently,
Nasacort stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Searching for an outdoor oasis but don't have time to catch a flight? Join us in the heart of Midtown at Versa, packed with good vibes, great views, and service unmatched. Fully stocked with 5 bars throughout the venue. Aside from our stellar dining menu, Tuesday through Friday, our culinary team has curated a delectable rotation of food activations to be featured on our patio from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Join us for nonstop fun on one of New York City's largest patios as rooftop season is finally upon us. Located at 215 West 35th Street, New York, New York. Official partners of the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers.
The Morning After.
StubHub profiled me. Now he's searching NBA Finals Raptors. So I call my buddy and I'm like, dear God, I'm like, it's $1,150 now. He sends me a text. He goes, you're an idiot. It's $850. And I'm like, dude, I'm staring at the computer right now. He sends me a screenshot of his phone. $300 less.
What the?
The same seat, by the way? Are we talking
exact? Can you believe that?
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
Now what goes up must come down.
Three up, three down.
What does three up and three down mean to you, Airman?
End of an inning.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for Three Up, Three Down, our celebrity segment. Every single week we do this. And somehow we'll have to convince the powers that be to have Brad Ziegler do this, like, a lot more often. But for now, we got him on Thursdays. And it is honestly a great pleasure and thrill to actually do a live show with Brad. Because as we sat last year eating some meal that we had at some point and talked about this becoming a reality, it is now a reality. So thank you very much to David Katz. Thank you very much to Lou Mayone. Thank you very much to Mike Cardano, Chris Pavone, our producer, everyone for making this happen. Special moment for me, for sure, to see this come true. So, enough of the crying. Let's do three up, three down. You guys know how it works by now because we've been on the air for like a grand total of 3 days. Here's how it works. I'll give you three things trending up, three things trending down. Brad Ziegler will do the same. And I'm the leadoff man today. Maybe we'll let Zig lead off next week. Here we go. First up, Shohei Ohtani. He hit his third homer in his last five games. Brad Hand, 18 save last night, 1.27 earned run average. Hand's been one of the best closers in baseball. John Means of the Orioles. Let me give you my full transparency. Others will fake it. I will tell you the truth. I had never heard of John Means until spring training. I had never heard his name. And he has been the Orioles' best pitcher. David Bode went 4-for-4 with a three-run bomb. And those three players are trending up for me in fantasy baseball in our three-up, three-down segment. Zig, what do you got for your up in three-up, three-down? Take it away.
All right, I'm going to look at the MLB draft, and I did. I just picked a random year 5 years ago because I felt like there's been a trend, and I think the trend going up is the trend for four-year college players. And this was not more evident. I looked at the 2014 draft, just picked a random draft 5 years ago and looked at the stats. On the first day that year, there were 105 picks. 53 of them were from four-year players, 49 high school kids, so about a 50-50 split, also three JUCO kids. This year, there were 78 picks, so 23 less picks this year. 51 four-year players, so basically the same number of four-year players, but only 25 high school kids drafted. I think teams are starting to figure out first round, higher draft picks. You need to go with the guys who you've seen for three more years and are a lot closer to the big leagues to try to maximize your investment. And I love that for college players.
All right. Congratulations on doing football on our baseball show. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks. You know, we're trying to knock out baseball here. You know, it's June 6th.
Please. No. That was baseball. That was baseball.
Oh, that was
the MLB
baseball?
Draft. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said football there for a minute. Four-year player.
If I did, I apologize. This was the first day of the MLB draft this year. 3 days.
I got you. Yeah, I thought we talked about this last night. Okay. No. Okay. Misspoke. All right. Can we go back and edit that out, Chris, on demand? Can we change that so I don't look like the idiot here? Thank you. All right. Three up, three down. My second one. Now, listen. I may pronounce this wrong. Okay. But her name is Amanda Aminisova. I think I got that right. 17-year-old girl from New Jersey, originally from Russia. She's two wins away from winning the French Open. Now, let me say that again. She's 17 years old. Like, this is going all the way back to, like, Martina Hingis young. And she beat the 3 seed of the French Open this morning. So keep an eye on that this weekend. Amanda Aminisova, two wins away from being 17 years old. And winning at Roland Garros. That's crazy. Okay, so that's my second trending up on three up, three down. Let me not screw this one up. Let me turn it back over to you for your second.
All right, I'm going to switch over to college basketball then. I'm going to beat you to this a little bit, but a different one than what you're going to say for your number three.
Okay.
Mine is I'm a Kansas Jayhawks fan. Silvio De Sousa last year was a top prospect the year before. He came in halfway through the season, was suspended last year for basically 80 games, two full seasons of suspension for his guardian taking $2,500 from a shoe company. According to the Guardian, he didn't know where the money came from. It showed up in an unmarked envelope. He donated it to his church. Who knows if you believe that, but the NCAA, for the first time that I can remember, has allowed DeSosa to win his appeal and made him eligible last year. And that's, for me, the NCAA makes so many bad decisions. And overall, I think they're just massively trending down. But this one decision, I feel like they are not punishing the kid for something that someone else did not benefit him in any way. And I feel like from that standpoint, I'll give the NCAA the benefit of the doubt on this one and say they made the right decision.
All right, good call there. Yeah, and I think that at some point they got to pay college kids. I mean, that's probably the most generic answer and generic statement, but something's got to be done, and it's just avoidable at that point. But some people don't feel that way, and I get it. But, you know, to me, we're in that direction. The amount of money that's made in college sports, and when we did the show on Monday, I was talking to my producer, Chris Pavona, about this. The Northeast, which is where our studios are at FNTSY, you know, Brad, they really, truthfully, don't get it, you know, in terms of college sports. And in the South and in the West and in the Midwest, where there are so many prominent players and schools, it's just a different animal. And so the money's being made. There's just no reason why they can't pay these kids. But that's where we're at. College basketball, I have one as well. How about that? Two college basketballs on a baseball show. College basketball approved, listen to this, moving back the three-point line to international length next year. How about that? So they move it from 20 feet to about 21, so it's like a foot. And this is to make the game more fast-moving, more exciting, and it also opens up the perimeter. So look for that next year. And by the way, for those of you who are into the wagering, understand that a lot of the totals will probably be going, I would say, more under as opposed to over. But we'll just have to see. That happened for sure this year, no doubt. Okay, so that's my three things trending up. You've done two. Hit me with the third one, Zig.
I love that one. So today, 75th anniversary of D-Day. And to commemorate that, a foundation that is very near and dear to my heart, the Bob Feller Active Valor Foundation, is doing special celebrations in three locations. One of them at the Baseball Heritage Museum in Cleveland, one at the Yogi Berra Museum in Montclair, New Jersey, and one that, fortunately, I will have the pleasure of attending at the Negro Leagues Museum here in Kansas City. And the purpose of the foundation is to educate the future generations about ballplayers who served in the military and what we call the greatest generation of the game. And I just think it's a fantastic honor. Anytime you have an opportunity to commemorate something as big as D-Day and educate today's younger people on how important that was in our nation's history, I think any chance you get an opportunity to do that, you have to do it. And I love that they're, you know, I feel grateful they've made me a part of it. And I feel really good about the work this foundation is doing, especially in this celebration.
Yep. And you know, certainly, I know for firsthand knowledge how much you're into that and have donated money to charities in the past. And that's all good. But we're not going to let you get away from being on this show without ripping some people. So that's what we're going to do next in our three down, things that are trending down. I'll start Felix Pena of the Angels, 7 earned runs in 1 2/3. And I don't know if anyone can explain this one to me. I've been doing fantasy shows on the radio for 10 years. And I feel like for the last 10 years, someone calls me on the radio and says Kevin Gausman's going to be a good pitcher. I mean, it hasn't been 10 years. It's probably been 5, 6, 7. I don't know what it's been. 7 runs in 5 innings yesterday. And if the Atlanta Braves do not get themselves some starting pitching help, they are not going to make the postseason. Fulton Awich has not been great. Gausman has not been good. They have all these young kids in the minors. They didn't trade any of them in the offseason, but they don't call them up or make a trade. The Braves are going to be on the outside looking in, and that's what I'll start off with today. What about you?
I'm going to go straight to the qualifying offer and the draft pick compensation or the loss of picks for signing the qualifying offer free agents. I think this is atrocious for baseball. I understand that the initial reason when they put it in was they didn't want the Yankees buying all these free agents from the Tampa Bay Rays or the Oakland A's and the A's essentially getting nothing out of it just because they couldn't afford to pay the players. That's all fine and good, but the system is getting worse because now you're having guys sit out half the season because essentially maybe their asking price was high to begin with, but when they come down into the realistic zone, they have to sit out another month because teams don't want to lose a draft pick or lose multiple draft picks depending on the team. The system's too complicated because now it's based on whether or not they're receiving revenue sharing, whether or not they're a revenue payer, whether or not they've gone over the CBT. Get rid of it. You need your best product on the field. You're losing fans every single year at ballparks. And part of the reason I feel like is because you are making this so much about petty money stuff, when in reality, you need these best players on the field to make teams as good as possible and bring fans back to the park.
Yeah, we don't want to go through it again, that's for sure. But every year there's free agents, we will. But as we talked about 15 minutes ago, you could listen on demand 24/7. I think that we're going to find less free agents because of the contract extensions. But a good point by you in our three up, three down segment. Here's number two for me. Drake, the Raptors fan that everybody loves to hate, went on Instagram and trolled Klay Thompson for missing the game last night. So that battle continues. Let me ask you, Brad. I mean, is Drake the most annoying celebrity fan that you've ever encountered in your life? Like, he has just taken over social media. He has taken over every single sporting event. And at the championship game, he's basically trolled other teams. He's lost virtually every time. This is the closest that Drake has come to his actual team winning a championship.
Yeah, he, at least in the moment, he's extremely annoying. There have been a lot of other annoying celebrity fans at sporting events. But the back rub with the head coach was just too far. Like, just make this about the team and how good Kawhi Leonard and these other players are playing. They're about to, in my opinion, knock off the three or four time out of the last 5 years.
Wow.
Champs. And I think Toronto wins this series in six games. And I think it needs to be about the players and not about Drake.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, what do you got for your second one?
All right. So for me, the trending down is the umpires calling their own balls and strikes. The video of Angel Hernandez is circulating all over the internet. The pitch was right down the middle. He called it a ball. But this is not just about Angel Hernandez. This is about all of baseball. Balls and strikes are a constant argument. They talk about speeding up the game. I don't think there's a better way to do it than putting an electronic strike zone in. Have a light pop on in center field when the ball passes through the zone. You have the umpire still signaling it for everybody to see on TV, whatever, and all players can, you know, get their information from the umpire. They don't have to look at the light. But at some point, the way technology is being implemented in sports today, this is going to happen. And I feel like they need to get out in front of this, get involved with electronic strike zone instead of waiting for a huge blown call in a game 7 of a World Series that costs a team a championship. And then they do it in a reactive way. It's not a lot different to me than the protective nets down the foul lines. Be proactive instead of waiting for someone to get hurt. I feel the same way about the electronic strike zone. Make it a thing sooner than later.
I feel the same way about sitting in the press box last year watching strikes of yours being called balls and seeing how annoyed you got. Like that some of my best highlights from last year was that. That was fun. Okay, my final one for sure. Sophie Turner, otherwise known as Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones, she blames Kit Harington, otherwise known as Jon Snow, for leaving the coffee cup in the scene of last year's Game of Thrones. Now, before I get to your last one, Brad, how is it possible that anybody should be blamed outside of the people who were shooting the show and editing the show? Like, how did that even make the final cut? I don't get it. Like, they are the ones to blame. So that is my way down on my three up, three down today. I don't get that one.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter whose cup it was to drink it. It's all about the fact that, like, this was sitting on the table right next to people. And this will tell you how addicted most of them probably are to coffee, because it didn't even register to them that it shouldn't be there. When they're sitting there acting through, they're like, oh yeah, a cup of coffee next to me. I live my whole life that way. It just wasn't a big deal to them. And yeah, the whoever, especially the cameramen, the editing, they needed to figure this out. And you know, even if they could have just CGI'd it out of the shot, one way or another, this had to happen. And I can't believe it didn't. And I don't blame Jon Snow at all. He's the man.
All right, what's your third one here?
All right, I'm gonna go trending downward. The Phoenix Area Mountain Rescue Squad. There was a 74-year-old woman who was hiking on Piedzwa Peak and was injured. They called 911. They fly a helicopter in to load her into the Stokes basket to lift her off. And as they're lifting her off, she starts to spin and spin and spin and spin. And for almost a full minute, she was spinning at a pretty high rate. I cannot imagine what it would have been like to lay in that basket and just all of a sudden be spinning, getting dizzy, and have zero concept of where you're at, how high up you are. Fortunately, she was not hurt any worse. She obviously was very dizzy and nauseated. But they said there's a rope that's supposed to be connected that prevents it from spinning, you know, with the massive amount of wind coming down from the helicopter blades. For whatever reason, either it didn't work or they didn't connect it or whatever. But that's enough for me to not want to go climb any mountains soon, because I know it's dangerous and I want to have full confidence in the rescue crew. And at this point, I definitely do not.
Well, I saw the video and it made me a little sick, but in the end, I get what you're saying. Like, I'm not big into those, like, rides and spins. And to have that happen to me and not know is pretty petrifying for sure. Okay, that's our three up, three down segment for today. And Brad Ziegler, kind enough to join us here on the first almost 40 minutes of the show. We'll check back in with you, Zig, next week here on the show. But before we let you go, tell us a little bit about the podcast that you have going at The Athletic. In fact, you know what? Let's do this. I'm gonna call an audible here, and I'm gonna ask if you can do the final 20 minutes of the show here, leading you up to. I know you have business at 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central. Could you stick around for another 20 minutes so we can actually do the content that we had planned here on the show, which we didn't
absolutely
get to,
yeah,
because we're just doing nonsense here and having fun, and the time got a little bit away from us. So you can
stay
around.
Let's do it. Okay. We'll go back over some fantasy baseball and actually get our listeners what they got on to hear.
Yeah, that's a shame. I don't think they'll ever get to hear from us what they really want, given the fact that you and I will be nonsensical a lot. But coming up next, for those of you who have fantasy pitchers with one or two starts, or you have fantasy pitchers that you're just wondering when you're getting trade offers that they're having great seasons, Brad, who pitched in the big leagues for more than a decade, has not only seen but opposed a lot of these pitchers. So he's going to tell you whether or not you should hang on or you should cut bait with some of these guys. And he'll also project the kind of season that they will have from June 6th all the way through the end of September. This is FNTSY. This is Brad Ziegler, Craig Mish, here on the Fantasy Sports Network. We'll be back with pitching analysis from the man of the hour, Brad Ziegler, right after this. Don't go away.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. A Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds, and it keeps your patio about 20 degrees cooler. It provides instant shade and protection from the sun's harmful rays. You can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 when you call now to get your special $200 discount certificate and free awning idea kit. You're going to love your Sunsetter Retractable Awning. Sunsetter awnings are assembled in America and guaranteed to last for years. So call 800-869-5446 now to get a free awning idea kit with DVD, plus your $200 Sunsetter discount certificate. This is a limited time offer, so call 800-869-5446 now. That's 800-869-5446 for your free awning idea kit with DVD and $200 discount certificate. There's no obligation, so call 800-869-5446 now.
Let DailyRoto.com guide you to victory as you swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball. Become the eighth Daily Roto lineup optimizer to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become part of the growing community who have won thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. The 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Music education programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help. Maid Sailors is the leading cleaning service in New York City and Boston. We service homes, offices, corporate apartments, and Airbnb turnarounds. Give us a call or a text at 212-299-5170 to book now. That's 212-299-5170. Use the promo code FNTSY for 15% off your first cleaning. For more information, go to maidsailors.com. That's maidsailors.com.
Lose weight now. Go to fat100.com. Lose that unwanted belly fat today and get free information at fat100.com. Fit in the dress or pants or bathing suits you've always wanted to. Go to fat100.com. Lose 10, 20, or more pounds immediately. Go to fat100.com. For free information on how you can lose weight, go to fat100.com. Fat100.com. That's fat100.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Brad Ziegler in the house. If you want to call up and say hello, here's the phone number, 844-843-6879. Now, the one thing that Brad will not do is he will not be around when we do our next segment. Now, this is Chris Pavona's favorite one here coming up in a second, because at some point in the second hour of the show, we have committed to the fans and the people who listen to FNTSY. We are not going to impose our will upon you, so to speak. And what we do is we call the segment You Make the Call.
You Make the Call.
Oh, hi, Mark.
All right, before we get back into the fantasy baseball discussion, put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, where you'll receive a free bet up to $500. That's a free bet up to $500 when you open up a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering. College and pro sports, you're in control. FanDuel.com/grid. Open your account. Claim your free wager of up to $500 today. Okay, Brad. So here's the deal. I'm gonna throw three things out there, and the fans get to choose what I talk about in the second hour of the show. Do you think that this is a wise idea for me to do? I'm taking a little risk, aren't I?
Yeah, to a point, you're taking a risk, but I think the bigger risk is if you're the one coming up with the topics, because they're probably not going to be that great.
Yeah, well, that's true, and that's been proven years and years of radio. Got kicked off the last one. Okay. Here it is. You make the call. Choice A, top fantasy closers. And choice B is replacing Carlos Carrasco. Who you can replace Carlos Carrasco with. And maybe Brad can give you some cues on that, because we're going to talk about some potential pitchers. And then what we always do is our great producer of the show, Chris Pavona, we're giving him the opportunity to talk on this show with You Make the Call, but he has yet to receive enough votes to talk about this subject. So, Chris, the third subject is your dog, Chris Pavona's dog. Chris, do you think you could handle talking about your dog for 10 minutes?
That's one of the easiest, greatest things I could do for you.
Okay, so there you go. So if you guys vote for Chris Pavona's dog, we'll do a whole segment on it. It may be the last show we do. But the choice is yours, so you make the call. Go to Twitter right now, at Craig Mish. I'll retweet it. Chris posted it on the FNTSY radio account. Pick one. Top fantasy closers, replacing Carlos Carrasco, and Chris Pavona's dog. Chris texts me now. He cannot do the whole segment. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. So much for the Rays, Chris. So much for the Rays. Okay. Let's go over some pitchers, Brad, if you don't mind. And I want to go through some pitchers that are pitching at a very high level this season, and ask you if you think they can maintain the rest of the year. Now, understanding, and Brad, you certainly know how fantasy works because you play football for many, many years. When you have a player like a running back or a wide receiver that's off to a tremendous start, it may not be the worst thing in the world if you don't think that they can continue it to trade the player. So let me throw out three pitchers for you. We'll go one by one, and you tell me what you think. We'll start off with the Dodgers, who you faced the Dodgers a million times when you were with the Diamondbacks, and that's Hyunjin Ryu, who looks like the Cy Young Award candidate in the NL at this time. He's probably going to start the All-Star game if he makes three or four more good starts like this. But the bottom line is that if you own Hyunjin Ryu in a 12-team league and you can get a hitter back in return, would you trade Ryu, or do you think that this is legit?
No, I definitely think this is legit. And the biggest thing is he came back from the, you know, he missed all 2015, came back in 2016 and had a, you know, one bad outing, kind of had a setback. And he's been pretty good since then. You know, 2017 was all right, but last year he was fantastic when he pitched. And this year he's basically duplicating that number. I think this is just who he is. He's kind of figured it out. He's made big adjustments in his game, especially when it comes to walks. The last 2 years, his walk rates have gone way down. This year it's phenomenal. I mean, he's walked five guys in 80 innings. That's unheard of. That's Kershaw-esque numbers. And I almost wonder if he didn't sit there and watch Kershaw pitch for the first 4 years of his career and be like, you know what? This guy's really got something. Whenever he just attacks the strike zone, he is really good. And there's, at this point in their career, Ryu's stuff is just as good as Kershaw's. And so there's no reason he can't be just as effective if he kind of models that same approach. And I am all in on Ryu the rest of the season. I say stick with him because I think you're going to have a really hard time getting the value for him that it would be worth keeping him in your lineup.
All right, so Brad Ziegler, thumbs up on Hyunjin Ryu. Hold on a Hyunjin Ryu. Okay, Jake Odorizzi of the Minnesota Twins. I don't think it's any coincidence, Brad, that we're talking about the best team in the NL and the best team in the AL. Odorizzi has led the Twins staff to a 8-2, 1.96 earned run average. His ERA plus leads the majors, 9.8 strikeouts per nine, which is a career high for him. 70 Ks in 64 innings. We know that he was a workhorse in Tampa. He hasn't been quite the same in Minnesota until this year. So the question is, Brad, is this a hold on Odorizzi? Is it a trade on him? What would you do with him? Because simply put, this is the peak that he's ever been over the course of his career.
And I'll say this. I actually think you hold on him and you want to keep him on your team. And the reason is because of how he's being managed by the Twins. They are not letting him get to that third time in the order very often. He's done it nine games, but he's only done it with a handful of hitters. He's not getting to the middle of the order, the bottom of the order every single start. They're cutting him off. He's averaging just over five innings a start. And I think that is the perfect amount for him. And because of how he's being managed and how good that team is, if he's just going to go out and throw five innings and let the bullpen take over, most of the time, the way they're hitting, he's going to have a six-run lead when he leaves the game. He's going to be in line for Ws. His numbers are in the first two times through the order are really good. I don't think there's any reason to get rid of him. And if you start seeing him stretch a little more later in the season out to that third time in the order, that's when, to me, the red flags might be thrown up. But I think the Twins have figured this out about him, and they feel like this is how he's most effective. And I think he could definitely keep duplicating this the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's the voice of Brad Ziegler. Even if Odorizzi is a five or six inning guy, and Zig, would you agree that their attempt to get Kimbrel may be something in the future to keep an eye on, that they make an attempt to get like a Shane Green from Detroit or a Colome or a closer from someone else? Because then, Zig, think about that. All he would need to do is get five, and then you have that Parker and Rogers in the bullpen along with whoever they get to pitch the ninth inning, right? Like that could
make
him more valuable, right?
Yeah, this the fact that they were going after Kimbrel, that tells you that they're willing to spend at a minimum because they knew approximately what he was going to cost. So they're going to go and get the best reliever on the market if they're willing to spend it and give up the prospects. And I think they feel like they've got a legit, a playoff contending, World Series contending team. They're not going to miss this opportunity. They're going to go grab somebody at the deadline, if not earlier. And yeah, that just makes Odorizzi and all the rest of Twin starters that much more valuable.
And when we get to the July trade deadline, Brad Ziegler will be with us. And on that deadline day, we'll go through what he was thinking when he was traded that day and kind of the trades that happened and what was going through teams' minds in both fantasy and reality. Okay, our final pitcher that has gotten off to a better start than I think that most people thought is Jordan Lyles of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, I loved Lyles when he was drafted and even when he went to Houston, but he has not had a good career. Let me just be clear about that. Lyles has not been what anybody thought that he would be, but all of a sudden he found something last year in Milwaukee, Brad, and he's carried that over to the Pirates this year. 3.38 earned run average, 61 strikeouts in 61 innings. That's nine strikeouts per nine. If he maintains that, that's a career high. You never really know where the Pirates are going to be in any particular situation, and they do have young kids in the minors as well. But I don't know, Brad, could you even get anything back if you tried to trade Jordan Lyles? He's a tough one. I'm not sure what to do with him.
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to be able to get this same production throughout the rest of the year. The strikeout numbers are the one that I think he's going to have a difficult time duplicating, you know, over the course of a full season. He's, you know, a lot of guys, especially guys with, you know, low innings count. So over the course of, I mean, he hadn't pitched more than, what, 80-something innings in the last three or four seasons. I don't think you're going to see him really carry that high stamina into the 150th inning of the season late in August. So I think at some point he's going to start to dwindle. But I like you said, it'd be tough to get anything, you know, really valuable for him right now. But I would try to see if he can get another two or three good starts, get some really good mojo trending his way, and then try to sell high on him at that point. Because I think at some point this year his stamina collapses and he's not able to produce at the same level.
Brad Ziegler, Craig Mish here on FNTSY Radio, 844-843-6879. Those are three pitchers that have gotten off to really good starts, and Zig says that Ryu and Odorizzi are holds. Lyles is just one of those guys that you may have no choice but to hold. Now let's go through some of the pitchers that have gotten off to tough starts and wonder if they are good buy low candidates. We'll start off with Aaron Nola on the Phillies. Now, he's just been real inconsistent. I know that he was taking a lot of fantasy drafts, Brad, usually in the second or third round. Some people had him as their fantasy ace, and that hasn't really worked out. I am surprised. I thought that he would be better, but it's a long year, and there certainly is a chance that his numbers could get better. Some people have blamed the juice ball on some of these pitchers. I don't know. Do you see anything when you look deeper into his numbers that would lead you to believe that he'll be very good in the second half, or is this just kind of who he is? I'm not sure.
Yeah, there are a couple things that concern me. Number one, over last year, his home runs per nine has doubled and his walk per nine has almost doubled also. And those are extremely scary statistics for me. The fact that he's 6-1 at this point, I know, like, you know, wins are only a you know, one factor, and a lot of times they're not predictable, but that tells you how good the Phillies can be when he's pitching, whenever he's struggling mightily compared to where he's been. And he's still winning games and not losing games. Let's put it that way. So there is an opportunity to turn around, but he's going to have to get the home run and walk numbers down to have any shot at being the guy he's been the last couple of years.
Noah Syndergaard, if I told you at the beginning of the season he had 81 strikeouts in 82 innings pitched, coming off a season where he had 155 strikeouts and 154 innings pitched, then you probably would say that he's having a good year. But he only has three wins, and we know that, as you mentioned, that's not a product of him. It's more of a product of the team. But his ERA, 4.83 on the season. His FIP, 3.61. His Ks per nine are in line with his career. His walks per nine are in line, but the home run total, Zig, has doubled from where it was last year. So, again, product of the ball, product of the pitcher, I'm just not sure.
Well, I definitely buy into the fact that the ball has changed over the last few years, but I don't see, when you have a guy with this stuff, the only way that he gets hit to me is, number one, he has command issues. And I'm not saying command in the sense of, like, he's throwing too many balls, not enough strikes. It's command within the strike zone. I look at throwing strikes as control, at throwing balls as a lack of control, but command is what I look at as control within the strike zone. I feel like he's gotten too predictable, and his command in the zone is not very good, because for him to, when you have the stuff he does, for him to give up as many hard hit balls as he has, I don't understand how it's possible. Like, you have to essentially, as the other team, you have to know what's coming. You have to be guessing the right zone. I wonder if he doesn't, if they don't need to switch up what catcher he's throwing with, one way or another, switch up a game plan. But that being said, at the same time, he was not good in April, and he's been better in May. Even though May has not been perfect, he had the one rough start against Detroit, but he is trending in the right direction. And that's a guy that if you can go out and get him at a reasonable price, a cheap price, I think there's a chance that he may be starting to kind of figure things out along the way. He's not going to be a low walk guy. He's never been a low walk guy. The home runs are, you know, they're definitely a concern for the season totals, but it seems like they've just been kind of like games where, you know, he'll give up a couple homers in a game, then he won't give up any for the next two games, and then he'll give up another couple homers. And it's kind of just a rhythm thing for him. And my inkling is that he would be a really good buy low candidate right now.
Yeah, I'm just not in on him. I wasn't in on him at the beginning of the season. He's like my Gronk, Zig. He's like the guy that I can't – you don't own 2 years in a row. You just don't want to go through the frustration. It's like the fantasy football comparison there.
That's fair.
But either way, the last one, this was a pitcher that so many people were high on as we wrap up this hour of the show. Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox, going into the year, he was a favorite for a lot of people. 73 Ks in 66 innings, 6 wins, 3 losses. So that's good, but his ERA 4.88. His WHIP is 1.37. It's basically his career is almost a little bit below 1.3. Strikeouts per 9 pretty much where they were last year. Now, Zig, the Red Sox are going to win a lot of games, so you would assume that the wins would be there, but they haven't been there for sale. I mean, this is something that could really correct itself in the second half. I'm a little bit worried here. How about you?
I'm worried in the sense that, like, I just wasn't as high on him as everybody else was to start the season because he's basically, the ERA is a little high, but he's basically, other than that, performing at the same rates that he has his whole career. His you know, hits per nine is you know, one hit extra higher. His home run rate is up for sure. But his walks per nine is right in line with where he was. His strikeouts per nine right in line with where he was. Strikeouts per walks even in line with where he was. I think this is just kind of who he is. He's going to be a low fours ERA at the end of the season. He's going to strike out a batter an inning. He's going to have a decent walk rate. He's just going to give up some hits along the way, and it's you know, it's a little frustrating from a WHIP standpoint because he's not in the low ones, and he's not going to be in the low ones. That's just I think he's just kind of who he's been the last few years, and I would have said that at the beginning of the season.
Well, Zig, listen, it's always a pleasure talking to you, although we talk a lot, but some great knowledge here on this show, and what I want to do with you is get it. Give me. We have a minute to go. Give me an idea as to where people can hear you outside of FNTSY, and tell people about The Athletic and the podcast that you do there.
Yeah, sure. So I'm on a podcast with Jake Seeley and Chris Meaney. It's called Sports Unsealed, and we're having a lot of fun with it. It's kind of everything. There's a little bit of baseball. There's a little bit of football. There's a little bit of pop culture. We've talked NBA and hockey. It's kind of everything right now, and we have fun with it. It's every Tuesday and Thursday, and you know, love it if you catch over there. But don't forget to come back every Thursday and listen to us here too, because we're gonna have a lot of fun on the show.
Yeah, we will. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Listen, have a great weekend. We'll talk over the weekend. That's Brad Ziegler, former big league pitcher and fantasy analyst, and he's going to be one of the best in the industry. There is no doubt in my mind. Hour number 2 of FST is coming up next. Don't go away.